Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
It's 35 past the hour. Good morning. Tuesday underway from Faith Radio. I am Austin Hill. The Islamic State, sometimes abbreviated in an acronym as ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, in other cases described as ISIL, ISIL. In any case, either one, Islamic State, those words back to back, strike fear in the hearts of many, and for very good reason. What's an appropriate Christian view of this problem that we have with the Islamic State, and what's the antidote, the solution to the problems? Joining us to talk about it, Dr. Charles Dyer. He is professor at large at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. His latest book is called The ISIS Crisis. Charlie Dyer, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, well, thank you, Austin. It's great being with you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. ISIS, ISIL, ISIL. The president calls it ISIL. Many of us call it ISIS. Give us some clarity. You've referred to the Islamic State as ISIS in your book. Give us some clarity. Why the distinctions with these acronyms?
Yeah, and that, it gets even more confusing because the one used in the Middle East is Daesh, which is as it comes across, but that's their acronym. It really comes down to what do we want to call this group? They want to call themselves the Islamic State. Mm-hmm. They're saying they're a caliphate. They would prefer that legitimacy. Whether we want to call them the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant or Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, it's really just describing where they're located. And Iraq certainly is part of where their base is. And then whether we want to call it Syria or a larger area for the other part, I prefer Syria. Mm-hmm. It just gives them less credence. And I certainly wouldn't want to call them the Islamic State because that gives them more legitimacy than they genuinely have.
Yeah, President Barack Obama says that the Islamic State is neither Islamic nor is it a state. We'll get to the Islamic part in just a moment, but to what extent is it sort of a quasi-governmental, quasi-state-like sort of entity?
Yeah, and it depends on how we define a state. You know, if we say a state is something that has a recognized leader that taxes its citizens, can have an army, you know, they qualify. If we say it's a state, it's something that's recognized by others as a state. You know, it's a member of the UN. It can issue passports that other entities can recognize. Well, they fall short there, and so they're somewhat in between. Certainly, their goal is not just to even have a state in the Middle East. They want to have an Islamic State that covers the world. As they said, they want the black flag of ISIS raised over the White House. Mm-hmm. So their goals are ambitious, but they're not recognized as a state by any legitimate country in the world today.
Yet at the same time, it seems to me to call it a terror organization or a terrorist group probably underestimates. And I know a frequent guest here on our program, a gentleman named Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, a national commentator on national security issues and such, he describes it as a quasi-military operation. What do you make of that as you've studied the Islamic State?
Yeah, you know, they have gone beyond any other terrorist group in the past. You know, we of course, Al-Qaeda is the one we knew the most. ISIS has surpassed Al-Qaeda in terms of the amount of money it was able to raise. It figured out the oil sources of income, and they've surpassed any other in terms of their ability to use the social media for propagation. Mm-hmm. And both of those have really put them into a separate category. You know, again, I don't want to call them a state, but they're certainly more than just a terrorist organization or a run-of-the-mill jihadist group. They have moved into a different category and really makes them quite dangerous.
I would certainly think so. Dr. Charles Dyer, professor at large at Moody Bible Institute. He's on our news line here on the Austin Hill in the Morning program. His latest book from Moody Publishing, by the way, is The ISIS Crisis. So how much of a threat is this entity, this group, this rogue, whatever we want to call it, that most of us, you know, we go back 12 months ago, most of us had never even heard references to the Islamic State before. How threatening is it right now?
Yeah, it's actually not as threatening as the news media makes it. It's certainly more threatening than even what our president called it about a year ago when he said it was the JV team. Mm-hmm. Frankly, in the Middle East, they're causing tremendous difficulties in Syria and in Iraq. I think Turkey is very concerned by them, and we don't hear as much for that, but Turkey and Jordan are both watching closely. Egypt's now being very cautious about it because they're both in the Sinai Peninsula and in Libya. So their potential is great. We're also seeing their potential here in the States through lone wolf terrorists. Through their social media, they are trying to find, attract, and unleash terrorists who will cause, in terms of property damage, not a lot, but in terms of fear and changing the social fabric of our country, have real potential. And so in that sense, they are dangerous. And that's why I think our country is paying such close attention to them, and our government is as well.
Just as sure as you say that, though, Charlie Dyer, it strikes me that probably a lot of people in the evangelical Christian community aren't paying enough attention to the Islamic State, at least in my estimation. I fear at times that sometimes we just don't want to get our hands dirty. This is a national security issue, and that's political, and we don't want anything to do with politics and whatnot. So even as you say, the Islamic State is changing the social fabric of our country, my goodness, it just seems like a lot of Americans, Christian and non-Christian alike, are far more interested in what they can get on Netflix tonight or the ball game coming up this weekend or what have you. Are we really focused enough on it, do you believe?
We're not. And as you said, the average person is really self-motivated right now. You're right. They're concerned about Netflix or they're concerned about their own life. And that's why when an event does happen, when a terrorist incident does take place, like at the Boston Marathon or some other place, it so shocks our country. And that's why I think as Christians, we need to realize both the limits of ISIS and its potential and what God has told us to do, what he's called us to do as followers of Jesus. Frankly, we don't need to be afraid of ISIS, but we do need to understand what it's doing. God's heart's in the Middle East, and our heart ought to beat in harmony with God's heart, which means we need to pay attention not only what's happening there, but what's happening in our neighborhoods with the rise of Muslim friends and neighbors and coworkers, and not to respond in fear to them, but to really start showing the love of Christ to them before ISIS can have a chance to preach its message to them.
Very interesting. Let's talk more in moments. Quick break. We'll continue with Dr. Charles Dyer, professor at large at Moody Bible Institute. His new book is called The ISIS Crisis. We'll continue momentarily. This is the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Don't go away. It's now 45 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. It's Tuesday. I'm Austin Hill. The Islamic State. Indeed, it is something that Christians should care about and be very thoughtful about. So says our guest this morning, Charles Dyer, Dr. Charles Dyer. He is professor at large at Moody Bible Institute. He has a book on the Moody publishing label called The ISIS Crisis. He's on our newsline. Just before the break there, Charlie, you started to reference the fact that this is something that should be of particular interest to Christians, the Islamic State. Where do you go with that?
Well, I think I start with the idea that God's heart's in the Middle East. Our heart ought to be there as well. God cares for all people in the world, including the followers of ISIS. And if he cares for them, so should we. I think too many Christians are responding in fear, revulsion, anger, almost revenge, and wanting to seek vengeance. We need to realize that around us are followers of Muhammad that really are people Christ died for. We need to show them the love of Christ. If we're unwilling to reach out, embrace our neighbors, there are other messages that they're listening to, and they could very well end up becoming followers of ISIS themselves. So we have a role to play in stopping ISIS in our country. And it simply follows what God's called us to be as his salt and light.
What does that mean, salt and light, in a crisis like this?
It means, I think, first that we show love. The average Muslim in our country is really feeling conflicted right now. They're also wondering about ISIS. They're wondering about what the Christians, the Americans around them are thinking of them. And all too often, we treat them as being invisible, or if we show fear, suspicion, hostility, we're driving them into the message that ISIS is proclaiming. God's called us to reach out and show love, show interest, learn enough about them to be able to build a relationship so that we can earn the right to tell them about our love for Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They just don't believe he was God's son, and we need to earn the right to share that good news with them. And then trust God to use that in a way that can change their lives.
You know, it strikes me that when we want to talk about love and building relationships and those kinds of things, we do pretty well with that in the church community in America. At least I think so. Conversely, some of the stronger, maybe even more challenging or difficult calls of the gospel, things like the appropriate use of redemptive force, the courage that it requires one to engage in redemptive force, the proactive measures one can take to constrain and prohibit the proliferation of evil. I just don't hear much of that going on in the church today. And that worries me, frankly. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I would say, actually, I hear that sometimes all too often. But here, and that's why I think we need to be very careful. The Bible makes clear there's two roles. The role of government is to restrain evil. That's what God has put government in place for. Paul talks about the leaders bearing the sword, you know, that God gave them. And I think we need to support our government in that sense, you know, to protect the minorities in the Middle East, to stop evil like ISIS. That is something that is a legitimate use of government force that ought to be supported. But then God calls on us as Christians not to individually exercise that kind of force. He calls on us to love our neighbors, to treat well those who mistreat us. I think we're seeing a revival in the Middle East right now, in part because of the Christians who are under incredible pressure are displaying the love of Christ in a way that we don't fully comprehend. And that's why there have been more Muslims come to faith in the Middle East in the last 30 years than in the previous 1,400 years combined.
Dr. Charles Dyer, he's professor at large at Moody Bible Institute. He's on our newsline, and his new book, actually, on the Moody Publishing label is called The ISIS Crisis. Charlie, you mentioned a few moments ago that we should not respond to the crisis of ISIS in anger. Is there not a legitimate sense of, I guess I'd want to call it righteous anger when we see people being beheaded on the internet? I had a friend of mine, I wish he had not done this. I wish I had not seen this photo. I clicked away from it as quickly as I could. A friend of mine posted a photo on a social media website of his recently of presumably, ostensibly, a child age two or younger being beheaded by what was reported to be a member of the Islamic State. That's repulsive. That's angering to me. Is that altogether wrong for the Christian?
No, God says be angry and sin not. It's interesting that those two are put side by side in Paul's epistles. There is a righteous indignation. There's a sense of what God has said is right and wrong. And if we don't feel repulsed by something like that, then there's something wrong with us. But that's followed immediately with sin not. Our problem is when we get angry, we often want to go seek vengeance. And we'll justify what we're doing. And God has said vengeance is his. He'll repay. So we've got to somehow control our anger and put it into a useful function. Turn it away from vengeance and say, okay, so what is it that God wants me to do? If that's wrong, then what is it that God's called me to do to help make that right? And I believe as individuals in our country, that's when we say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to deliberately show love to my neighbors. And if there's someone who's a follower of Muhammad, I want to show love to that person in a way that hopefully will make a difference in their lives. Now, I also want to support my government because God has given government the role of being that avenger, of righting wrong, and I want to support what our government does and encourage our government to do its role in stopping the evil of ISIS.
Well, at present, our federal government, at least the current elected officials at the highest levels, refuse to acknowledge the Islamic State really for all that it is. What do we do about that?
Well, I think that's when we need to encourage our elected leaders. You're right. The minute, if you want to engage the enemy, you need to identify the enemy and know who the enemy is.
I would think so.
To the extent that our government's trying to pretend that it is not Islamic, they're missing the mark. They've already misidentified what the real problem is. I can't stress that enough. In fact, that's one that frustrates me. We have missed the mark. Even some of the more liberal, secular individuals in the press have recognized this might not be the sum total of Islam, but what ISIS is espousing parallels exactly what Muhammad and his followers espoused when Islam began. So to say it's not Islamic is just missing the point.
I would certainly think so. Final question, Dr. Charles Dyer. He told me to call him Charlie. It's difficult for me to call an esteemed professor so casually. But Charlie, for the purposes of our conversation, final question, sir. Is it inappropriate for Christians to wish for, hope for, maybe even try to encourage Muslims to here in our country to speak on their own behalf and to engage in a conversation? I mean, I think peace-loving Muslims here in the U.S., and I know there are some, I think they need to engage in this conversation and maybe start answering some questions. Is that inappropriate?
No, I don't think it's inappropriate at all. In fact, that's been one of the problems, though. They've not spoken clear enough and strongly enough, saying we condemn this. This is not what we stand for. Now, part of the problem is that they, at that point, need to articulate. How do they take those verses in the Quran that ISIS is using to support its actions? Because ultimately, the issue I think for a Muslim is that the Quran. It's hard to condemn something that if you believe the Quran and the Quran seems to support those actions. That's a difficulty. But you're right. To the extent that they can stand up, can articulate that, they will be doing themselves a great service.
I would think so. The book is entitled The ISIS Crisis. The author, Charles Dyer, Charles Dyer, professor at large at Moody Bible Institute. By the way, at large, I'm just curious, does that mean you travel all over the place? And what does that mean? That's a cool title, actually.
It is a great title. Yeah, it means I get to teach online, travel, speak, and write.
Very cool.
After 30 years of academic administration, I get to do all the fun stuff.
Well, good for you. Listen, thank you for an insightful book, and thank you for your time this morning, Dr. Dyer. I hope you'll come back and join us again soon.
Oh, thanks, Austin. It's great being with you.
And likewise with you. 53 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Tuesday morning underway. I am Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us.
Another question in me.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.